Let me clarify one question.
Good question.
Before you said that the Chacham Meir Da'at, this is especially the end of the Galus. Is it because you see that during many years of service and seeds, you're just pushing just the pool, just lots of...
No, that's not a fully accurate statement.
So it's telling me you have to clarify.
Not that. A fully accurate statement.
You see
statement.
A lot of letters that
have made it very clear that you have to learn Chassidus with the using your Chacham Meir Da'at all the years.
Okay, fine.
And the Rebbe explained why he emphasizes action. It's not as opposed to learning,
right.
But learning is a given. They've been talking about learning for 300 years.
Right.
Learning is a given. The Rebbe says, I have to talk about the thing that's the Chiddush.
Right.
Therefore, it's not. It shouldn't be expected of me to talk about learning Chassidus in Chacham Abin and Das and doing Avodah. That's understood. Without that, you have nothing.
But
to make like a Chassidus a beer, like why Dafka not?
Okay, but
the Rebbe said that all those beer are not true. Because you're supposed to do it.
See a lot of places where they're stressing, you want to become a bigger lamdan for someone else who doesn't even have alephis. That's what someone told me. The lesson of Shluchas is if you're davening on Silas, if someone eats alephis, you give up.
So the Rebbe said very clearly that a person has to feel that his home mitzvah, he's a tamim of Tanakh Tamim. And his home mitzvah is, and the end of Tanakh Tamim is learning Tanakh Tamim. And his whole union is Limud HaTorah. And even when he's involved in all the important things that he has to do. Spreading Yiddishkeit, spreading Chassidus. Even when he's involved in all of those things, he always feels like he's not in the place he really belongs. He always feels like he doesn't really belong, but he really belongs to sitting and learning Chassidus. And the Rebbe says, not only that, it's not enough just to have that feeling. You have to make times when you actually sit and learn Chassidus like it's your only job in the world. Like you have nothing else going on. There's nothing else. You're a bacher into everything without a worry in the world. All you have in your world is chassidus. So you have to actually take out time to learn that way. Then it's genuine when you say that while you're busy doing everything else, you always feel like, I'm out of my element. I'm a bacher into everything. I'm out of my element. I'm not in my true element. So, okay, but we could do the whole history of the Rebbe's Chassidus.
So actually, wouldn't there be an example of difference between Chitzonius and Pnimius? At Chitzonius level, he's doing the Avodah, but at Pnimius level, he's holding by a Bachar Torah Tamimah.
That is an example of the concept of Chitzonius and Pnimius on a very general level. But we're talking about specifically Chitzonius HaMechen and Pnimius HaMechen. Is very specifically, and they are very specific functions. You have to just know what those functions are if you're ever going to put them to use. You have to know what they are and how they work, or you're never going to use them and they're never going to work. Okay. So the question is,
he makes milk in when he talks about it in Chas Keshbar. What is
the milk in
Chas Keshbar? Yeah, from the Chas Keshbar.
Yeah. Is it Chas Keshbar?
No, okay,
Lach Lecha.
It's Chas.
Lach Lecha. And it was... Yeah, right. At the Met, in Chassidus, it says that the Eibishter promised the Yidden 10 lands, but not only did the Eibishter only give them 7 lands, but the Eibishter actually forbade them from going to war with those other 3 nations who occupied the other 3 lands. Chassidus explains... The reason for that being is that until the time of Gaul, that we can only conquer the 7 nations that correspond to the 7 emotions. We can conquer, until Mashiach comes, we can only conquer the emotions. And even when we use the mind, we only use it only insofar as it influences the emotions. We only have access really to Chatzenius HaMech. Except for Tzaddikim, or people on a very high level, or even regular people could have moments of access to Pnimius HaMechen, but to actually conquer the mind, to actually take over the Chacham Bina Das, to conquer Chacham Bina Das of Klippa, and transform it to Chacham Bina Das of Kedusha, that needs to avoid the Pnimius HaMechen, and that's something we're not capable of doing until Geula comes. And the Rebbe said in Cheshvan that it's already here and you have to do it. Now the Avodah is avoid the Pnimius HaMechen, you have to go out and conquer the mind. So what does it mean to go out and conquer the mind? Is everyone ready to proceed, or there's still a few more questions? Every time I'm about to get wound up, the questions go flying. So okay.
Was this ever said before?
So let's just take a little pause, say l'chaim, and then we'll get back to business. So, in order just to have a working grasp of what Pnimius HaMoichin are and how they work, we have to go back to the first step, which is how do Moichin work in general. Chassidus explains that if a person has a certain negative character trait which manifests itself in certain negative behaviors, so Chassidus says it's not enough to just address the behaviors, because if a person will only focus on changing the behaviors and doesn't focus on changing the character trait, which is the root of those behaviors, so the change will not be a permanent and lasting change. Now, the person may actually throughout their lifetime hold on to this temporary change long enough that he doesn't actually ever do the behavior again, but it's by definition only, it's not an actual real change. And usually, more often than not, the person will have a relapse of the behavior. Because if he hasn't, because he's trying to act against, contrary to your own character, trying to act contrary to your own character is very difficult, and you're not always as a person in shape and not always as a person have the strength to contain the behaviors, to suppress behaviors which are simply manifestations of his own character. So therefore, if a person actually is really serious about changing, it's not enough to address the behavior. You have to address the character trait itself. The question is, how do you address the character trait? What should I do? I feel this way. That's just the way I feel. So you could tell me, the Welt understands, so you could tell somebody, listen, okay, you feel that way, just don't do the behavior. You have certain feelings, you can't really control your feelings, but at least control your behavior. Chassidus says, no, that's not fair to ask somebody who can't control his feelings to control his behavior. I mean, you have to do it anyway. If you had the proper fear of God, you would do it anyway. But it's almost impossible that a person should actually control his behavior if he hasn't changed his character. So Chassidus, so the most basic level of Meir Shaldal Alev is that you can, that even though you have a certain feeling, you have a certain character trait which causes you to respond emotionally in certain ways in certain situations, to experience certain feelings, the first level of Meir Shaldal Alev is not to act on those feelings. Which, for that you need to have Meir Shaldal Alev, Mashenk in the Rishayim, Alibam, Heim Bershus Alibam, and they can't exercise that kind of control. But that's not the real Meir Shaldal Alev. The mind ruling the heart, that's not the real mind ruling the heart. The real meaning of the mind ruling the heart, which is the Chiddush of Chassidus Chabad, Musa already told us that the mind could rule the heart in terms of just making sure that the person doesn't act on their feelings, that a person could control their behaviors, and even control their conscious thoughts. Musa told us that already. That's not the Chiddush of Chassidus. The Chiddush of Chassidus is that the mind can change a person's character, and a person will actually start feeling different. And not only that, it's essential, because any real, true internal change, so a change that a person imposes from outside, externally, internally, is rat d'rikva, but externally, make sure that he doesn't act on his rotten character. So that's called chitzenius. You have to do it. You have to make sure that you don't act out behaviors which are inappropriate, even if you have the inappropriate feeling.
But most of you even have extra thoughts, you said.
Correct. Thoughts does not put in his thoughts. It's also part of one of the Levusha.
But not
the Midas themselves.
Yeah,
okay. To actually transform, you know, it's to control the manifestations of the Midas. But to actually transform the Midas themselves, that is the Chiddush of Chassidus. So when the Rebbe Marash asked the Tzemach Tzedek, what did Chassidus come to accomplish? Tzemach Tzedek said that what the Alter Rebbe told me was, there's two versions of the answer. One answer is to transform your natural character traits. The other version of the answer is to turn your natural character traits into godly traits. So Chassidus came along to teach a person how to change his character by using his mind, not only by changing his behaviors, not only by not trying to change from the outside in, does not affect a permanent change. Permanent change comes when you make the transformation from the inside out. The mind works on the emotions, which are the seat of one's character. When those emotions are transformed, then your thoughts, your speech, and your actions will reflect your new feelings, as opposed to your old negative character. Your thoughts, speech, and actions will be the natural outgrowths of your new positive character.
What are those two versions again? Two versions from the Alter
Rebbe? One is to transform the natural character traits, and one is to transform the nature of the character traits.
Can you use the word God? How do you use the word God?
Right. So to transform one's natural character means to actually change one's character. To transform the nature of one's character traits and make them godly, that is another level which we'll hopefully get to. So, because those refer to two different levels, one being the result of using the Chitzenius HaMechel. When a person works on his heart with Chitzenius HaMechel, then what is transformed is his natural characteristics are transformed. He can change his character. But the very nature of his being is not transformed. He's transformed his emotional responses to things. He's changed what he likes and what he dislikes. But he hasn't changed the nature of his character. He hasn't become a godly being. He has become somebody whose character is more in line with his godly role and mission in this world. But he has not become a godly being. To transform the nature of one's character, not just one's natural characteristics, but to transform the very nature of one's character, that it become a godly nature, that is accomplished by the Pnimius HaMechel. But again, we're leading up to that, we'll get to that. The thing is like this. So how? What? Pnimius HaMechel. So how does one go about transforming one's natural characteristics? So there's a process. The process is using the faculties of Chachma, Bina, and Das. And there are no shortcuts. Shortcuts, by definition, means trying to change from the outside in. Trying to change from the inside out is an internal process. In fact, in Lubavitch, the definition of a chitzen was somebody who tried to take shortcuts, who tried to change himself by adopting certain behaviors and practices rather than doing the work of transforming himself from within. So the definition of the term chitzen means somebody who wants to change by taking shot. The definition of the term pnimi is somebody who realizes that any real, true, lasting, permanent change has to be done from the inside out. So how do you change a character trait? What's the process? So the process is that you have to incorporate. So the basic foundation of the Hasidic thought process, utilizing the Chacham, Bina, and Das, is that first, you have to grasp a certain concept. You need a concept. In order to change your feeling, you need a concept that the mind is going to influence the very characteristics of the heart. How does the mind do that? The mind first starts with a concept. So you need a concept. You need a concept which the natural progression from this concept, the natural consequence of this concept is that you should not like the things that you currently like, and you should dislike, and you should like the things that you currently don't appreciate. Okay? So let's say there's a person who has a character and he gets angry. So how is he going to change the character trait of becoming angry? He needs a concept. He needs a concept which makes the whole idea of anger. It precludes the whole idea of anger. So you want to learn how to deal with the character trait of anger. So there's a concept. Hasidus has a concept. The concept that Hasidus has is that since everything comes from God, and God is good, so everything that comes from God is good. If you really believe, if you really understood that something comes from God, and if it comes from God, it's good. That is not, you're having an eye? So the question is, okay, that's the concept. That's the basic concept. That's the job of Chachma. The job of Chachma is to get the basic concept. I got it. Okay. The concept is that if God is good, if everything comes from God, and God is good, so everything that comes from God is good, therefore anger is conceptually bankrupt. The whole emotion of anger is irrelevant. Except to prevent someone from doing, to prevent someone from going against God's will. The only way that anger would have any appropriate use would be if you could put it to use to prevent someone from going against God's will. Okay. Now.
So you're saying as far as that you can have, a person may not necessarily have to eliminate the trait of anger, but only to refine it to a point to where they only use it for godliness. That's the only reason.
Yeah, we never eliminate any traits. We transform our character. We don't eliminate any character trait. Mm-hmm. Every character trait has a use.
The Chagas Chassid is saying, I know everything's good and I'm going to be happy about it, it's good, it's okay with it. What's the difference?
You know, what happens is, his Rebbe tells him, everything that comes from God, no, his Rebbe doesn't even tell him that. His Rebbe may tell him that your job in this world is to be happy even when things look bad. That's it. You have to focus on being happy even when things look bad. That's it. He may throw up a little concept. You should know because it comes from God, and from God everything that comes from God is good. But he's not. It's not the concept that drives him.
Yeah.
What drives him is that's it. He has to change. He's focusing on changing his behaviors, his thought patterns.
Me, every time I get mad, I think that everything comes from God. I don't know if that's a Chabad, because I mean, you think of the really bad thing at the time.
I've talked about Chachma. It's a process. We're talking about a real internal process. No. So what do you do next? after Chachma comes Bina. After Chachma comes Bina. You have this concept. Now, the one thing about this concept is that all of your experiences, all of your feelings are the exact opposite of this concept. Okay? Everything you've ever felt or experienced in your whole life is the exact opposite of this concept. Any sensory message that you ever got in your life is the exact opposite of this message. You are used to, from the day you were born, that this world is full of bad stuff. And there's a lot of things that you experience as bad. Okay. So this concept that you're going to try to live with and internalize goes totally against the grain of everything you know and feel and have ever experienced. So it's purely intellectual at this point. It's purely an intellectual concept. Yeah. Okay. So what are you going to do? You have this purely intellectual concept, which runs totally opposite to anything you've ever experienced in your life. So how are you going to internalize this concept? To the point that you will start reacting to things as if they're good. And instead of the same things which you used to react to them, you used to experience them as bad, you will start changing, you'll start experiencing them as good. And so you'll never get back. So how are you going to take this concept which runs contrary to your whole life and actually start living with this concept? So there's a faculty called Bina. Mm-hmm. You have a concept, but you have no way of bringing this concept down and making something out of it. Bring it down into your life. Which is very similar to the male of the species, who has the capacity to reproduce, but he has no way of taking this awesome power of reproduction and creating anything unless there's a woman to take that and develop. So it's not enough. So just having a concept isn't worth anything. If you're just going to try to change yourself with a concept, you're still going to be just changing yourself from the outside in. You're not really going to be changing from the inside out. So if you want to change from the inside out, you got to take the concept to the next level. What's the next level? The next level is called Bina. Bina is taking an idea and applying it and breaking it down, having a very broad understanding of what's behind the idea or what's behind the concept, and having a good, broad, detailed picture and understanding of what are the ramifications of this concept. This is what you have to understand. This is what you have to use the faculty of Bina for.
Could you do me a favor?
So,
just tell me one example of Bina on the concept.
Okay,
fine.
What's that? Oh, dear.
Hold on.
This is a process.
Okay, I
want shortcuts.
I wanted to buy one.
Yeah,
I
can get this. So what do you do? You have this concept, this germ of an idea, so to speak. This seminal intellectual concept. And you have to get a good grasp and understanding of this concept. So in order to have a good grasp and understanding of this concept, you have to have a very good clear and detailed understanding of a number of things. For instance, one of the things that you have to have a very good, clear, and detailed understanding is of Achdus Hashem, the concept of the oneness of God, and how this plays out on every level of existence, on every level of creation. You have to learn that there's an aspect of godliness which fills the world. And there's a lot of a lot of details and information that you have to know about them. You have to know and understand that there are that there's an aspect of godliness which transcends them, which is higher than them. You have to know that God Himself is the source of and higher than both these realms. And you have to learn and understand that the process of creation through which God created the world is that he concealed himself. He constricted his presence so that it should not be open and manifest and revealed in the world. In order that the world could exist, you have to know the concept. But this constriction, this contraction was only relative to us and not to him. From his perspective of reality, which is the true reality, God is everything. This, that we perceive the reality otherwise, that is the concept of tzimtzum. You have to have a good, detailed understanding of the concept of tzimtzum. So you realize that in order for us to exist, what God had to contract and conceal was his infinite light. He himself, he doesn't have to conceal. He just has to conceal his light. Because these revelations are so great and they're so good that it would blow us out of existence. Not because they're bad, but because they're too much good. And we have a mashalim to understand this. In Gashmir, you have Mishalim to understand the concept of Tzimtzum, and in order for a teacher to convey a concept to his students, he can't give it, if he's going to give it over to the students on the level that he understands it, it's going to blow their minds. They won't be able to get it, they won't be able to grasp it. So the teacher has to contract and conceal the breadth and the depth of the concept, of the ideas that he's teaching them, in order that they should be able to grasp it on their little level. So we understand, so we have a mashal how too much of a good thing could break a person. And then we have even simpler mashalim for that concept of a parent spoiling a child. That if his father puts him, dresses him up and ties a bag of coins around his neck, and puts him on the street of the prostitutes, so what should it do? What do you expect? Of course he's going to sin. If you spoil him, if you give him too much, he can't handle it, it's too much for him. So he's going to crack, he's going to fall apart. Too much good can manifest itself in very negative ways. Now, so you have an understanding of, and therefore, in order to maintain the world, God had to contract his godly revelation into finite aspects of godliness. And the finite aspects of godliness in which he contracted himself into break down into four basic levels. Chachma, Bina, Zohar, and Malchus. And more specifically, breaks down into 10 different levels. And as you learn and understand and grasp these are the application of these ideas. This is all the background to this one concept. That God, everything comes from God, because nothing else can exist outside of God. The whole perception that anything exists outside of God is only something which is from our perspective through the process of Tzimtzum. And really everything, God is everything, and everything is God. And God is the ultimate good. And we understand the concept of how too much good can blow a person away. So we understand that if, even from our perspective, there is any negative thing that appears to happen, it's really a greater good than we have the capacity to appreciate. Now I just synopsized that into a few minutes. It's not a few minutes. It doesn't take a few minutes to understand Achdus Hashem. You can't start with Chassidus if you don't understand Achdus Hashem. If you don't have a basic working knowledge of Achdus Hashem, you're not even in the ballpark. If you don't have a good working understanding of tzimtzum, there's nothing to talk about. You could do a lot of good things, and you could be in many ways a wonderful Jew, but you're not in the whole ballpark of Chabad. You're just not. You know, you identify. You may have customs and practices, but that's not Chabad. Chabad, you got to understand it. And you have to have a good working understanding, and you have to not only be able to understand them in general, but be able to understand them in particular. As the different maimonides go into each particular level, it breaks down the four different levels, and the 10 different levels. And understand, having a good, solid understanding of each one. To whatever degree you're shaykh to. It doesn't mean everyone has to have the same equal understanding. It doesn't mean there's a certain, but a certain minimal basic level of understanding. If you don't have that, you don't get it. Your bina is not going to work because you don't have the tool. So you have to have a basic understanding of Briya Yashmeayim. You have to have a basic understanding of Achta Sashem, of Tzimtzum Arisha. And you have to develop more specific understandings of on each specific level, as Chassidus explained. Then, when you understand on the more specific, the more bederach pratis you understand, how each level, in order to bring about the level below it, has to be contracted and concealed to one degree or another. Okay? So the more you actually understand the process. So the more real it becomes to you, the more you can really, at least in your mind, relate to the idea that, wow, this is so true. That something that's too high, it can't come down to a lower level. Because you understand what Chachma is, you understand what Bina is, you understand what Midas are, and you realize, and you have a good understanding of that in order for the Midah to respond, the concept, you have to draw back from the concept a little, because if you just try to go straight with your whole mind, the emotion is not going to react the right way. To a lot of things you have to have, no. So it is the basic ABC knowledge that you have to have. If you don't have Shariach of Amun, if you don't know the foundations of Chabad, well, what? Where? When? And ultimately the concept of Dirabat Tachteira? That ultimately, so what? That ultimately it's all for the good. Ultimately, that greater good, which you do not have the kelim to perceive, the reason why you're experiencing it in the negative way is in order that you should be able to develop the kelim to receive that higher revelation. So there's nothing to get angry about. So what should you get angry about? It's exciting. If, in other words, just like the person, everyone understands the concept. Everybody understands the concept of a person who works very hard in order to accomplish a big thing. Something that's very important to a person. It's a very big accomplishment to them. We understand that people are willing to work very hard, and people are willing to endure things which can be quite painful. But the pain doesn't bother them. Why? Because there's this greater good that they want to accomplish. We know that there's people, when people want to achieve a greater good, they're willing to go through a lot. They're willing to experience a lot of painful things for a greater good. There are people who are willing to live like in poverty in order to one day become a millionaire. There are people who are willing to punish their bodies tremendously in order to achieve inner peace. There are people who are willing to punish their bodies tremendously in order to get paid millions of dollars for someone to punch you in your face.
They work with that, and sometimes they hammer late at night.
It's not a reaction to what's going on here. Yeah,
what? No.
This is on a regular basis.
So we know that concept. That in order to achieve a greater good, something which is more important to a person, people are willing to endure tremendous things. And not only are they willing to endure it, it doesn't bother them that much. Okay? The guy, if somebody came along, you know, the old question they used to ask, how much money would you take to have Muhammad Ali punch you in the face? It must be whatever it is, whatever the purse is. In boxing, the losers also get a nice piece of change just to show up and get hit. So most people would say that for the $10 million, as long as I know for sure I'll survive, I'll let Muhammad Ali hit me in the face. Why? If someone else will come hit you in the face, you'll be furious, you'll be angry, you'll be distraught, it'll ruin your whole day, your week. What did this happen to me? How could God do this to me? It's terrible. A punch in the face. What did I do to deserve this? Oh my goodness, someone punched me in the face. Right? But someone came to you and said, listen, we'll put you up $10 million from Muhammad Ali to punch you in the face. Say, hey, I'm coming. You know what I mean? Could I inject a little Novocaine first? Okay, whatever. If not that, listen, I'll take it. I'll take the $10 million. That's it. So what's the difference? The difference is, because if you realize that what you're going through is, people are willing to endure a lot for what they consider a greater good. So when a person learns these ideas and learns these concepts, so he realizes that nothing is bad, everything is good, it starts making sense to him. It's not just he read this concept in a book. God is good. Everything comes from God. God is good. Therefore, everything is good. Yeah, thanks a lot. How about I punch you in the face? But when a person really has a good understanding of Achdus Hashem, when a person has a good understanding of the whole concept of Dir Matachtanim, that God ultimately wants all this great good to be revealed in this world, and therefore you have to go through a process, just like the student has to really. Once the teacher gives him this diluted form of the idea, the students to really sweat and work and break his head in order to get the whole understanding. It can take him as much as 40 years in order to really get the understanding of the concept of the idea the way the teacher has it. Okay? So when a person really has a good grasp on it, it starts making sense to him. Okay? It makes sense. So now we took it from the next level. It used to be a concept. And now it makes sense. It's logical. It's not just a concept and it says somewhere in Taylor that it's good. Well, don't feel good to me. Now already it's a level closer. Yeah, you know, this concept makes sense. And every midah, any midah that a person wants to change, we're using Kasi as an example. You have to have the concept. And then you have to go back to Achdus Hashem and Bria Yashmeayin and go into each sphere and the whole process of Rishtalshuas and that. You have to know all these things. And the more and more you know it, and the more and more you get it, but you have to always keep connected to the concept. You can't lose sight of the concept. The basic concept. You can't lose. Sometimes the guy gets so carried away in learning about the Rishtalshuas of the world, he forgets all about what the whole point was. The whole point was to see. What was the whole point of learning about all the Shtalshus of the world and Tzimtzum and Achdus Hashem? The whole point was so you could actually apply it in your own life. They actually realize that what's happening to you is good. So when these people get so involved, they like learning about Achdus Hashem. That's it. They like learning about Achdus Hashem and they lose sight of the whole point of what learning about Achdus Hashem was about. And the same thing to change, to work on your character, obviously, so to work on it. I'm just picking out one example to illustrate the process. Now you got a problem. You got a papa. You got a mama. You got a concept.
Some more balance.
You got a concept, and you have a whole intellectual
infrastructure
basis for this concept. Not just a concept. This concept makes sense. So what's supposed to come out of this? What's supposed to come out of this is that your character is supposed to change. And you're supposed to stop getting angry. The problem is, the concept is a concept.
Uh-oh.
And the concept makes sense,
oh, wow.
But it still doesn't feel good, and I still get upset. So what do I have to do? So I have to do, after I get the concept, I have to do something called, you have to have a working understanding of the concept. I have to go through a process called hisbainimus. A process called hisbainimus, which I am not going to go that into detail on. But just, again, give a general... The process called hisbainimus is personalizing. Okay, we still have it all in a very philosophical, theoretical framework. We have this whole huge framework now. It's not just a little germ of an idea. We have a whole huge construction, a theoretical, philosophical construction, which gives, I mean, but gives meat and bones to the concept. Puts a little flesh on it. What about me? So in order to make to take this whole concept, with the whole solid understanding of the concept that I have to personalize the concept. So how do I personalize the concept? So the way I personalize the concept is hisbainimus. Hisbainimus means has two basic components to it. Hisbainimus, personalizing the concept has two basic functions. One is taking the same body of knowledge and understanding that I have and looking at the idea and says, what do I think about? What do I think about that? Says who? Okay, very nice. Well, says who? And start thinking about what are the practical ramifications of that concept to me. So the focus is on the concept, and what does it have to do with me?
You have to be.
That's one aspect of his point, which I just gave in very encapsulated form. To start questioning the concept, like, it's, what does that idea have to do with me? What is that understanding that I have? What does it have to do with me? Says who? Why? Why not? You know, it's to actually, after you went through the process, you learned the mind, now you have to start like questioning it in your mind, getting it down. It's kind of like formulating it in your mind in the form of questions and answers where your own mind comes up with the answers. In other words, you're going through a process where you're trying to draw out, what do I think about it? I know what the mima says about it. I understand the mima great. I could say it backwards in Latin. But the question is, what do I think about it? So now I have to take the whole concept. After I learned everything that the Alter Rebbe has to say and the Mittler Rebbe has to say, and someone says, the question is, what do I think? I know what he thinks. The question is, what do I think? So now I have to look at that whole concept over. After I learned it and I know it well, I now have to look at the whole thing, what do I think? How do I know what I think about something? I question. When I want to know what I think about something, I question it in my mind. Not question it like somebody who doesn't want to think. Says who? Why? Questioning it like someone who's trying to come up with the answers. I want to understand it better. So I'm questioning. So now it's already, what do I think about it? Putting it into my... Now, there's another aspect of what do I think about something, which is putting it into my own turn and my own world with my own personal examples. Finding my own personal examples of this concept at work in my life, in my experience. So in my experience, nobody ever offered me $10 million to get punched in the face by Muhammad Ali. But I have other experiences in my life where I chose to deprive myself of something or experience some so-called pain or discomfort for something that I really wanted. And different dugmas and mashalim that I can relate to it to me personally, in my personal life. So there's what I think about the concept. What do I think about the whole idea? How do I understand the idea? And then there's how do I have examples and illustrations of that idea in my life? In my terms, in what I relate. Okay. So now you went through the process of his bainus. Again, it takes a lot longer than the way I than what I'm telling you. It's a process. Now, you did the process of his bainus. His bainus hamusig and his bainus. You want to know the fancy terminology? You can look in the different maimar. Now, the problem is there's another ingredient. You have to, now that I know the concept, and I understand what the Rabbeim have to say about the concept, and I even understand how I understand the concept, and I even understand how I have examples in my own, how I have my own examples for this concept. Now I have to take it to the next step, which is apply the concept. Now, the next time I have a situation, so now I have to take the next step, which is to apply it to see what current situation am I in now? What current situation am I dealing with right now that I could actually apply that concept to my actual, and how do I feel about it? So you have to take it, the next step is to actually personalize it to the point that you address a specific issue in your specific life and hold it under the microscope of this idea. Now what do I think about this thing that happened to me?